Good Wednesday morning. Happy hump day. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by the National Retail Federation.
And I'm Anna Palmer. 20-year House veteran Mike Capuano lost last night to Ayanna Pressley, a 44-year-old Boston City Councilwoman who was an aide to former Representative Joe Kennedy and Senator John Kerry. Pressley, who will now hold the same seat as Tip O'Neill and John F. Kennedy, will be the first Black member to serve in the state's House delegation. Capuano is the fourth House incumbent to go down, after Representatives Mark Sanford of South Carolina and Robert Pittenger of North Carolina on the Republican side, and Representative Joe Crowley in New York, who lost on the Democratic side. For weeks now, Democratic operatives and party officials have been telling us that Capuano was going to be fine. He was an avowed progressive, they said. This wasn't another situation where a longtime incumbent wasn't taking their race seriously enough. He'd gotten endorsements from key validators, like the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. And furthermore, between July 1st and August 15th, Capuano spent more than $930,000.
But spend some time with Pressley, as Anna did, and it doesn't take long to see she has a real ability to connect with voters. She isn't a political upstart like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Pressley's put in her time climbing the party establishment ranks, working in Democratic politics since she was a kid in Chicago, later as a senior staffer on Capitol Hill, and most recently as a surrogate for Hillary Clinton. Pressley, like many Democrats looking to move up in office, dealt with the refrain we hear a lot, "It's not your turn." "I knew this was going to be lonely," she said when Anna went to Boston to interview her for the Women Rule podcast. And lonely it was. Emily's List, who had in 2015 given her their Gabrielle Giffords Rising Star Award, putting her in the national limelight, stayed out of the race. It wasn't until just days before the primary that the Boston Globe weighed in on her behalf.
This is a lot like 2010. People are being swept into Washington to completely turn upside down a party and how it does business. Connor Lamb of Pennsylvania, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York, and Pressley, three of the most prominent Democratic stars of this cycle, are ideologically different, but all share one common thread. They all wouldn't take corporate PAC money, the kind of donations that power incumbent members of Congress and the party committees. It might seem gimmicky, but this is the kind of position that could change how Washington works.
Pressley was much more firm on two issues du jour than Democratic leadership, impeaching Donald Trump and defunding ICE. Pressley said on the trail that she believes there's already enough evidence to begin impeaching the president, and she said ICE should be defunded. Democratic leadership has been a lot less firm on both points, saying that impeachment needs to be bipartisan, and they've steered clear of the get rid of ICE conversation. As Democrats inch closer to power, they'll spend a lot of time laying out what they want to do on issues like healthcare, gun violence, drug prices, and the economy. But their base seems much more animated by burn the house down issues.
Politico is up with new race ratings. Our politics and interactive teams have put together a really cool interactive graphic. They've rated 2018 races and created a tool by which you can sort the races by state or rating. Check it out and return often, because these will be updated regularly. Here are the top lines. The House we have as leaning Democratic. While we only have Dems slightly ahead of ours in seats leaning in the direction, virtually all of the two dozen toss-up seats are currently held by Republicans.
The Senate we have is likely Republican. North Dakota's in the lean Republican category if Kevin Cramer beats Heidi Heitkamp. Democrats need to hold all their other seats, then win Arizona, which is a toss-up, Nevada, which is a toss-up, and either Tennessee or Texas, both lean Republican. In the governor's races, Democrats are favored to pick up three governorships, Illinois, which is likely Democratic, New Mexico, which is likely Democratic, and Michigan. It could get better for them. All the seven toss-ups are currently held by Republicans.
Let's talk about that Woodward book. Washington Post is up with a story on the Trump administration aggressively pushing back against Bob Woodward's explosive new book. The president tweeted seven times last night pushing back on Woodward's retelling, including statements from Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis refuting sections of the book. He also said that Woodward made up lies and sources and did it to divide, questioning whether he is an operative. For the record, no, Bob Woodward is not a Democratic operative. He's a highly respected journalist who has a track record of writing meticulously detailed books about presidents, with an uncanny knack for getting behind-the-scenes details.
On the Supreme Court front, our colleagues Burgess Everett and Alana Shore have the details on Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Democrats wrestling over whether they should have staged a mass Kavanaugh walkout. They decided not to because they worried it would undercut their larger argument. First in Playbook, One Nation is going up with a $300,000 statewide TV ad in Maine, highlighting several quotes from Democrats supportive of Brett Kavanaugh. Stephen Law, the president and CEO of One Nation, said that following the theatrics Tuesday and fundraising emails from the Senate confirmation hearing, the ad was, quote, designed to show how reasonable people of both parties support Brett Kavanaugh.
The New York Times is taking a step back look at the new reality of court confirmations, which include pandemonium, protesters, and partisanship. While Alana Shore looks at how the hearing is giving 2020 hopefuls like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker a chance to break out. On the shutdown watch, John Bresnahan, Sarah Ferris, and Rachel Bade report that fights are slowing down final action on a minibus package of annual spending bills, casting doubt on Republicans' plans to try and avoid a government shutdown on October 1st. And here's some news. OMB Director Mick Mulvaney will be on Capitol Hill today to talk to the Republican Study Committee about appropriations and government reorganization. Of course, Mulvaney was once a hardline spending foe.
On the investigations front, the New York Times is reporting that Special Prosecutor Bob Mueller will accept some written answers from President Trump in the Russia investigation. David Loftman, most recently the chief of counterintelligence and export control at DOJ, who oversaw the Hillary Clinton email investigation, is opening up a private firm. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.